Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It's here! My mystery day!
Ah, my little darling, it is love at first sight, is it not? No?
Well, well, well. This looks to be one disturbing date.
Well, nobody's gonna go out with me.
We've got a blind date with destiny.
A little help would be useful if it's not too much trouble!
There once was a time in our culture when a mention of the word dating brought to mind a nervous teenage boy mustering the courage to ask the girl of his dreams out for a date. Well, these days, however, the dating scene now often includes parents who find themselves single again. Well, whether you're a parent who's getting back into dating or if you have kids who are just starting out in the dating process, you'll want to stay with me for the next half hour as I talk with Dr. Henry Cloud about what dating God's way really looks like. So keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, we're going to get into part two of an archival program, one of our best of the best from years gone by, as we're getting ready to celebrate 10 years of broadcasting this program here. This was one of our early ones, a conversation with Dr. Henry Cloud. He wrote a book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and based on the fact that we're seeing more single parents who are moving into the dating world, and also kids who just don't know how to date, and we parents need to give them some pointers. We thought it would be good to have a conversation on this topic of dating God's way. If you miss any part of this program, if you want to hear it again in its entirety, we archive all of the audio of our daily programs at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. And now, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two with Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry is the co-founder of the Cloud Townsend Clinic and has dedicated his life to helping others improve their relationships. Landmark works like the Boundaries books. And Henry is a great friend of mine. I appreciate and respect him so much. And this is day two of we've been talking about the whole idea of helping singles and helping kids, frankly, succeed at dating. Henry, in this book, has been called the dating coach. Henry, thanks for coming back.
It's good to be with you, Jim.
Henry, in the beginning of your book, you have a story about a woman named Lily.
Yeah.
I believe you were at a seminar, might have been someplace in the Midwest, and you had this conversation with Lily, and she basically is the summary of so many people that I know who are struggling in the dating relationship situation, or frankly not dating. Tell us that story and tell us a little bit about her.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and that is actually her real name because she wanted her real name in the book because she actually is coaching people now.
Great. Isn't that great?
You know, in the process. But here's kind of how it went, and I open with that because it does illustrate, I think, how a lot of people feel. We were at a dinner, actually, and there were six or eight of us at a table. It was the group that had put the seminar together. And we're at a dinner, and we're all just kind of talking about life. And Lily says something like, you know, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing now at this point in my life. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, I'm 33, and I always thought I'd be married and have kids by now. I go, yeah, I understand. And then she said, but God hasn't chosen that for me. And my ears perked up. I said, huh, what do you mean by that? She said, well, that's what God does. You know, he brings a person into your life that you're to marry, and he hasn't brought that person to me yet. And then she said something further. She said, or he hasn't given me the feet for the people that he has brought into my life that I would need. I said, God hasn't given you the feelings? And she said, yeah, that's what he does. He brings the person to you or he gives you the feelings. I said, well, whose feelings are these, yours or God's? She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, how do you know that God hasn't brought 10 good men into your life and that because of your own issues like fear of getting close or fear of commitment or fear of taking a risk or your own conflicts, that you haven't been able to feel what you would need to feel when a good guy shows up? How do you know this isn't about you as much as it is about God? And she got mad. And she got defensive. And she said, no, 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 that's what God does. You know, God brings the person into your life. And I said, well, how far do you take that? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, do you have to go outside? Do you have to do anything? Do you have any responsibility in your dating life? And she goes, well, I believe that God will bring the... I said, well, how far do you take it, Lily? Do you have to go outside? Do you have to leave the house? And she goes, well, I trust God that much. You know, he would bring the person to me. And I just looked at her and I said, Lily, if you don't want to marry the FedEx guy or a Jehovah's Witness, you better leave the house. Long story short, what I said was, look, how long has it been since you've had a date? And then she got a little sheepish and actually almost teared up. She said, 2 years. Mm-hmm. I said, all right, you let me be your dating coach, and I guarantee you in 6 months you'll be dating. But you have to do everything I tell you. And I won't tell you do anything illegal, immoral, or unethical, but I demand total obedience. You got to work the program like I tell you. Long story short, in 5 months, she was in a significant relationship with a kind of a detached narcissistic guy, and she had to work through that when she was moving up the food chain. And then a year later, or a little over that, I did her wedding. And it's the story I see so many times.
That is a great story. And it really is the story of that we have to be somewhat proactive.
I start out life and every decision and every plan and every thought of life is that God is the source. God provides. God resources us. God will bring the person into your life, I believe, that you're supposed to be with. But there is a theology in this. There's a created order that while God is the source of providing things that we can't provide, God will not do our part for us. And like the parable of the talent says, it's possible for him to give us a lot of potential and for us to bury that in the ground and watch life go by and have no multiplication. You know, he secured the promised land, but Joshua, you got to go possess it. And I find that people who do dating successfully, they take ownership. And like I had to push Lily to begin to take steps, to begin to face her fears, to begin to get over some self-image problems, some conflicts, some things from her past. And then what we found is this beautiful person emerged that was buried in the ground, that was present enough for guys to begin to notice. And there you go.
Very good input. In one of your chapters in your book, you say dating is not about marriage. Now, I've heard people say dating is pretty much all about marriage. It's not that you are going to marry the first person that you date, but that everybody you date is a potential candidate, and so you got to take it always serious. Yet you say something very different in the book than what a lot of times people say to kids. They say it to singles, and let's hear what you have to say.
Well, here's one analogy, Jim. Tiger Woods grew up with a goal. Right, he wanted to win more major tournaments than Jack Nicklaus, who had won more than any other human. So Tiger's goal is to win more U.S. Opens, for example, than anybody else. Well, he started this when he was 3 or 4 or 5 years old. What if Tiger had said at 3 or 4 or 5, you know, I'm not going to play. The only golf tournament I'll play in is the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
He's not ready for the U.S. Open.
Right.
He's not ready. I mean, there's no way. And that's what people do. They think in their immature, undeveloped, sometimes fearful, sometimes broken, sometimes relationally immature state of being that they're going to be able to, A, know the kind of person that's good for them, or B, be the kind of person that's good for somebody else. And they think that the only game they're going to play is the U.S. Open, i.e. the marriage. I don't think that's wise. I think that particularly in adolescence, that kids ought to be dating while they're at home with their coaches, mm-hmm. you know, while their parents are involved, while there's a youth group, and we're training them to date well, and then they ought to carry that on in adulthood.
So when your daughters come to you and say, there's a boy who wants to take me out, you know, they're 16, your daughters are very responsible, and the boy comes and he looks like somebody that you would not want your daughter to date, what do you say?
Well, it depends on what looks like means.
Remember, looks and acts.
Remember when we were growing up, our parents had versions of, if they had the Beatle haircut, they were a tramp.
Yeah, the Beatles were satanic.
Exactly. So I think some parents have got to get over some of their expectations and look past some of that stuff to the character and the behavior of people. So if we're talking about that, then what I'm interested in with my girls is to talk about, A, first, who they are, because their best protection against bad guys is not going to be to shield them from all the men in the world. Mm-hmm. Their best protection is their own values mm-hmm. and their own self-control and how loved and supported they feel. So when counterfeit money comes across the desk of the teller recognizes it because she knows the real thing. And so I want to make them strong first. But having said that, when they bring one up, I want to talk to them about, well, tell me about him. What's his behavior like? Who are his friends? Tell me about his family. What do you know about him? And this, that, and the other. And I want to get a feel, and I want to go through the process with them that I want them later to be able to go through with themselves.
Yeah, that's good. That's good coaching, and as a parent, we are a coach and we are a mentor.
Yeah, and I want them to be. I want to model for them asking the kind of questions that I want them asking, you know, after I'm gone from being their dating coach when they're in their 20s or in college or whatever, where they're learning to evaluate character. And I guess the biggest thing that I want my girls to learn, and this is what I want everybody to learn in dating. I've got a chapter in the book called, you know, Beauty is Only Skin Deep, but Character Goes All the Way to the Bone, that you're going to be attracted to people's outsides, their looks, their achievements, their wit, their intellect, their tastes, the things that kind of like get our attention. While you're going to be attracted to those things, what you're going to experience is somebody's insides.
Yeah.
That's what we experience in a relationship, somebody's character.
Right.
And so if they're a bad actor, I'm going to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're a bad character, no way you're going out with him, and mm-hmm. here's why. But I'm more worried about that you would want to than I am you going.
Right, and it gets back to a constant theme in your book, which is dealing with our own character and dealing with our own self and our own issues so that we can be healthy in relationships.
Boy, that's so important, and we're going to take a breather right here just to let that process. Today on the Homeward Broadcast, if you're just joining us, you're listening to a rather spirited conversation between Dr. Jim Burns and his friend and colleague, Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry's the co-author of millions of best-selling books, anyway, copies that have sold in the millions. And if you liked his Boundaries series, then you're really going to like this book that he wrote a few years ago called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. So often we don't think about dating. We think about marriage, we think about sexual intimacy and sexual purity, but we don't think about the actual dating process. And that's why this conversation is so healthy to have, whether you're a parent who's got teenagers who want to start dating, or if you're a parent who's a single parent again and you find yourself wanting to move into the dating world. If you go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button. We'll go into our archives there. You'll find Henry Cloud's name listed with today's program. It's hotkeyed, which means you just click on his name. It'll take you right to his website, and you can learn more about this resource and others like it. Okay, let's get into now the conclusion of this two-part conversation with Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Henry Cloud here on Homeward. Once again, dating God's way.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about dating. What a compelling conversation we're having with Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry Cloud is the popular author and speaker that many of you know from his books, The Boundaries books, which he's written, and I was mentioning on the previous program, I don't know if there's a person on planet Earth who hasn't heard of them. They're just a great book and a great way to look at it. Henry, I wanted you to talk just for a moment about, we've got a problem on our hands. We've been talking about this problem, but can you summarize what this problem is in terms of the dating relationships, whether it's a single or whether it's a young person?
Well, you know, broadly speaking, Jim, in dating, there's only two problems you can have. One is, I don't have any dates, or the second one is, I have dates, but I don't like the ones I'm getting.
Right, and even as a parent, that's one of the fears, that they're going to have bad dates.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it is that people find themselves, you know, attracted to the wrong kind of person over and over. Or what we hear a lot of times in the Christian single world is, well, the really spiritual ones and the ones that have the values that I like, I'm really not attracted to, and there's no chemistry, or the ones I'm really attracted to aren't really spiritual.
Right.
And you hear that problem a lot. And so those are the basic problems.
Sure.
People are stuck. They want to be dating. They want to be in a relationship, but it's not happening.
Okay, and then you've got a program after that, and I've laughed about this when I read your book, because there's even a money-back guarantee. You're saying you can be dating in 6 months or your money back. There's a program that really is a great way of looking at it. Kind of walk us through the program. If somebody's saying, you know what, I either have no dates or I've been having only bad dates, how are you going to help them?
Well, here's where the program came from. You know, I worked with a lot of singles over a lot of years researching this problem. And what I found was that there were several components to it. There's an internal component, and where I start people out is, the very first part of it is, I have them keep a log. And most of them will resist this, Jim, but here's what I want them to do. I want them to keep a log that basically says, and when I'm coaching somebody, I'll actually have them email to me every Friday. Here's what I want to know. I want to know how many people you met in the last 7 days who fulfilled three requirements. Number one, a new person. Okay, no recycling old inventory here. New people. Number two, that there's enough of an interaction with them that they would be interested in going out with you. Number three, that they have enough information to follow through on that. Now, when you think of those three components, you're meeting new people, there's enough of something to get their interests up on either side, and number three, there's a way to follow through on that. Those three things equal a date.
Well, what do you say when it's a woman who says, I fit into all these three, I actually have this underlined in your book, and then the question becomes, they're going, but he's not asking me. Does she ask him?
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay.
See, and that's the big problem. People kind of leapfrog the process. What I want them to see is I want them to do an audit, because what I want them to see is what's true. Because when you see what's true, you're going to get out of all the denial. And here's what I hear from people. Well, you know, I kept a log, and basically, you know, I go to work. I see the same six people in my neighboring cubicles that I see every day. I go home. I see my roommate. We channel surf, you know, or I might go to a Bible study or something. And then on Saturday, I run errands. And then Sunday, I go to the same singles group. And no, I didn't meet any new ones, have any interactions, and this, that, and the other. And that's the way it is. I go, okay, now I want you to play that movie forward. That's what you do every week. That's what next week's going to look like. That's what the week after that's going to look like. Play that forward a year, two, 3 years down the line. And now you're going to see where, if you continue to do what you're doing, apart from a miracle, this is what's going to happen. Now, do you see that you've got to do something different? And that's what, you know, that's the first step. Now, the second step is, I actually, Jim, I get them to my commandment is, I want you to send me every Friday five names of new people that have enough of an interaction with you to get interested, and some enough information that, you know, you or they could follow through. And they're going, well, where am I going to get those? And I go, I don't care. It's not my problem. That's what you got to do.
You're going to have to change your traffic pattern.
You got to change your traffic pattern. But here, now get me right on this. I am not interested at that point in them going out with any of those five.
Got it.
I'm interested in finding out, do they have the skills to actually initiate a conversation with somebody? I've seen women who go to functions and parties, and there's several single men there, but they spend the whole party at the punch bowl talking to two or three other women, and the thought of going up and talking to somebody, just saying, hey, you know, my name's Susie, how did you get here? Or what's your connection to Ralph? Or how do you know them? Or how long you been with this company? Just to do that, that's what I want to see. I want to see if they can come out of their shell and just begin to interact. And here's what happens. Again, you know, Lily, the story in the book that I opened with, when I told her to do this, she goes, well, how, you know, what if it's people I'm not interested in? I said, did I say I wanted you to go out with any of these people? No, I want you to interact with five just to see if you can talk to another human being. Okay, here's what happened. She starts to work the program. She's at church. She's got to go just say hi to somebody or just talk to somebody at a company gathering. And she says, oh, my gosh, she called me in a panic attack. She goes, I don't know what's happening to me. I said, what? She said, I'm trying to, you know, I went up and, you know, this guy looked nice, and so I was going to go talk to him. And she said, I started to freak out. I started to panic. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, what was going through your head? She goes, I don't know. I said, come on, something's going through your head. And you know what she said, Jim? And I guess I can say this on Christian radio because I say it in churches. She said, I'm talking to him, and all I could think of was how big my butt is right now.
Yeah.
I said, really? Tell me more about that. And she started talking, and I said, well, you feel bad about yourself? And she goes, yeah. And then we got into it. I said, well, where does that come from? And she started to cry. And here's what you find. People that aren't kind of out there and just emotionally available and relationally available, there's reasons that they're shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, we begin to find out, well, what are your fears? What about rejection? How much power do you give men? You know, where'd you get this self-image problem from? We got into some things about our brothers and this, that, and the other. And people begin to grow. And as they begin to grow and interact and face these fears, you know, there's an old Eastern saying, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear. Well, as they're growing, and I hear this all the time, when people start to get moving and they're facing themselves and they're growing, they start saying, I'll give you an example. A woman that I was coaching, I got her to do, start to have these steps. She walks in them off. She goes, okay, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She said, guys are just coming up to me everywhere and talking to me. This has never happened. I said, what are you doing differently? She says, nothing. I said, grasshopper, you are. See, you're growing as a person,
yeah,
and you're becoming available, and they're sensing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first part, is people have got to really see where they are, and they don't understand how shut down they've been.
Mm.
I think you've really got to take ownership of the things that are keeping you stuck. And the very first one is to look at, if I continue to do what I'm doing now, then the future is going to look like the last year, or the future is going to look like the last 2 years. The Bible tells us that we are to take stewardship over our lives, to guard your heart with all diligence, and that we have got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so I want you to treat dating like you would treat your career, like you would treat your spiritual life, like you would treat building a support system, like you would treat finding friends, and take ownership of it and say, okay, I'm going to go before God, and I'm going to go before the people that love me, and I am going to put my arms around this area of my life, and I'm going to improve it. Number two, I think you got to have a mindset change. If you are of the mindset that you think dating is about marriage, and you're just out there on a safari looking for the trophy, then you're stuck. And I'm telling you, you're stuck, because I've worked with a lot of people who are stuck in that way. You've got to begin to be open to seeing dating as a process and a social activity that has great value in and of itself, where you're going to learn about yourself, you're going to learn about people, you're going to go out with people that you never thought you would and probably wouldn't ever be interested in marrying, but you're going to get out there and you're going to meet a lot of different people because you're going to grow in the process. And as that happens, number three, things are going to begin to emerge in you. You're going to see issues. You're going to see blinders. You're going to see rigidity. And they have to begin to modify a lot of their categories. And then, you know, ultimately, you got to get your numbers up. And in the book, I talk about very specific ways that people who are stuck and aren't finding people some steps that they can take to do that. And Jim, this has been one of the most rewarding projects. It's going on about 10 or 12 years now, and I've seen a lot of people get married, but more than that, I've seen a lot of people grow spiritually and relationally and become healthy, and it is a great context to do that in.
Great wisdom from Henry Cloud. Henry, thank you so much for spending the last couple of days with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. And if I can say something really, really quick to listeners, you know, I know that listeners of Christian Radio are always getting hit up for money. And I'm telling you, I'm not a part of Jim's organization. I don't work there. I don't get anything from it. But I am telling you, Jim Burns is one of the people since 1980, that's a long time ago, I have believed in, I have supported, I've come alongside, I've sent people to, and there is no better person for working with youth and families that you can invest in. And there's your plug, Jim. People, send your donations to Jim and what he's doing.
Well, thank you. That's very humbling, and I'm honored. Henry Cloud with us today. Thank you so much, Henry, for being with us.
It's great to be here, Jim, anytime.
And we appreciate the wisdom of Dr. Henry Cloud today here on the Homeward Broadcast, wrapping up our two-part conversation on dating God's way. By the way, as Henry mentioned, if you'd like to support our ministry financially, you can do so by sending us a tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. If I went too fast, call our toll-free number, and you can ask Deb in the office there at 800-397-9725, or you can check us out online at homeword.com.
Over the past couple of days, we've been talking about a topic that really is quite important for kids and adults alike. Now, if you've benefited from today's program, I want to encourage you to contact us to get a copy of the double audio CD of my conversations with Dr. Henry Cloud. And here's Roger to tell you how you can do that.
Yeah, it's very simple. Both of the programs, there's enough disk space on one CD to put both programs, part one and part two. And so Ben's sitting right here, Ben Camp, our engineer. He'll be happy to burn one of those for you. All you have to do is let him know you want one. You can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go, the zip code 92693. Include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, and we'll thank you for that tax-deductible donation by sending you a copy of the full-length double audio CD, as Jim just said, on this topic of dating God's way. Also, remember that our Monday through Friday edition of the program, we do podcast through iTunes. You can go to iTunes.com and dig through the millions of podcasts that are there, or you can go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section, look for the podcast button, and when you click onto it, it'll take you right to our site on iTunes, and then you can sign up for our free subscription to the Monday through Friday edition of the program. That way you get the program days and sometimes weeks in advance, and you can listen to it at your own pace. Podcast with us at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.